It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives, business leaders, and so many other high-profile individuals from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many industries and professions, including sales, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communication, entrepreneurship, financial planning, time management, the list goes on and on, social media, corporate culture. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you will gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Some thank yous before we get to our guest. Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. Meira Beitler, Dina Student, and the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group who plays an important role in the production of this show. And the great folks at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Also, a very special thank you to Jessica Proud and Bill O'Reilly for securing tonight's incredible guest. Also, a special shout-out to Mishpacha Magazine for the full feature interview that they did about this show, Mind Your Business, on 77 WABC. I've been getting great feedback. Special thank you to Barbara Ben-Susan, the journalist who covered it. If you have any feedback, feel free to email them or send a letter to the editor, inbox@mishpacha.com. That's inbox@mishpacha.com. Also, a special thank you to last week's guest, Doug Pritchard, the president of SodaStream USA. His interview is available by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And, of course, just quick listing of some of the recent interviews, Shep Hyken, a customer service expert, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, who's running for mayor, Jason Robinson, director of marketing at UPS, Dr. Adrian Boise, chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and so many others, Jack Canfield, and of course, Captain Sully Sullenberger. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, without further ado, we go to tonight's guest, none other than Joe Loda. Some background about a very distinguished guest. Mr. Loda served as deputy mayor in the Giuliani administration. In 2011, Joe was appointed as chairman of the MTA. For those sleeping under a rock or outside the New York area, even outside the New York area, they got to know about it. I mean, it is the largest system, certainly in the U.S., and from the largest in the world, the Metropolitan Transit Authority. Joe was the chairman of the MTA, the operation responsible for the entire subway system, LIRR, Long Island Railroad, Metro North, the bus system, bridges and tunnels, over 75,000 employees. Some other stats about the MTA: 24 subway lines plus Staten Island Railroad, 16 commuter rail routes, that's through Metro North and LIRR, 310 bus routes, and a daily ridership of over 8.5 million people. In 2013, Joe ran for mayor of New York City as a Republican, more on that in a bit, and as of 2015, Mr. Loda is the senior vice president and chief of staff at NYU Langone Medical Center. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss leadership, how to run a massive organization like the MTA, the future of Penn Station, and lessons learned from Superstorm Sandy, disaster preparedness. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Mr. Joe Loda. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be with you this evening.
Thank you so much. Well, where do we begin? I would love to begin by talking about leadership throughout your career, but even from the vantage point of the MTA, how does one lead, oversee, and motivate 75,000 employees?
Well, there are numerous strategies that you can have to motivate employees. One of the things that I did both while I was deputy mayor, where I had, you know, basically deputy mayor for operations, I had the entire city, all of the operations reporting to me. So there was over a couple of 100,000 employees as well. And most important thing is to be able to get out and meet as many of them as possible. You just can't sit behind your desk. You just can't, you know, do things via memo. I think they've got to go out and see you. In fact, every now and then, you know, I'll be walking down the somewhere in the, you know, in New York City, and a bus driver will open up the door and yell, "Hey, Joe." Mm. And, you know, the reason why he's doing it is because I went to the depot and I talked to all the guys and the women who work there. And it's important. You just have to be seen. And I think that's very, very important. The other thing that managers have to do is make decisions. Nothing is worse for any organization than not making a decision. I learned that years and years ago. And when I was deputy mayor, I did that. And, you know, sometimes you make a mistake. You have to be man enough to say you made a mistake and reverse course or change direction or whatever it is you need to do. But making decisions is the most important thing I think you can do when you run an organization.
Wow. Now let's move on to the New York City subway system. There's so much to talk about. I mean, but let's talk about the Second Avenue subway. What role did you in your tenure or have input? Because we know it's, and the latest is that's within a year that a portion will be open. What could you tell us about the Second Avenue subway?
Well, the Second Avenue subway, first and foremost, it started before I got to the MTA. I left the MTA to run for mayor. It's still being worked on, and it should be opening up. The plan is by the end of 2016, it should be opening up and start the process of helping alleviate some of the congestion, lots of congestion that we have on the 4, 5, and 6 trains that go up the east side. That said, I think New Yorkers are going to be amazed when they see the Second Avenue subway. You know, let's go back and let's just talk about the subway system for a second. The subway system was developed, literally designed in the late 1800s. It opened in 1906 after, you know, and it's continued to be built all the way up and through right before the Second World War. It's old. It's extremely old, but this new Second Avenue subway, it's going to be modern. It's going to look great. And hopefully the people will understand that. But I think you have to understand, given the age of the New York City subway system, one of the things that I hear all the time is, you know, it could look better, or it could, you know, whatever issues people come up with. I mean, I've known for the longest time that people, if you love to, you know, love to say, you know, they hate we're getting on the subway or buses or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, as you said in your introduction, you know, 8.5, almost 9 million people every day are taking the MTA system. 6 million of that represents the subway system. 6 million people every day. It's bigger than most cities in the world take it. And it's how the, you know, I think of the MTA, the entire network of the railroads as well as the subways. It's the central nervous system of the New York metropolitan area. So many people get to work that way. So many people get to school that way. Here in the city, people get to doctor's appointments and go shopping. And they're using the subway. It is a critical infrastructure element, and we need to continue to maintain it. So let me tell you a little story. It was about the first or second week that I was at the MTA, and it was late at night. I picked up the phone, and it was one of the riders. It was a young man who told me that he was an undergraduate student, just started at Columbia University, and wanted to know why at the stop, I think it's at 116th Street, where Columbia is located on the number one train, wanted to know why there weren't any plugs so that he could charge his laptop. Typical for a freshman in college wanting to, you know, charge your equipment. And I laughed. I did, just like you're giggling. I laughed. I said, you realize that station probably opened in the 19-teens, and there weren't, you know, people at the time, no one thought about it. So to modernize it, you know, the MTA is doing a great job. with Wi-Fi-ing various different stations all around the place. They have the call the various different signs that are up that show you when the trains are coming. They're doing their very best to modernize it, but it takes a lot of money to do it. And the governor has been very, very helpful in making sure that the MTA gets its money for its capital program. Bottom line on the Second Avenue subway, I've been down there. I've seen it. It is extremely impressive, and I think it's going to show New Yorkers that, you know, it can get done. Now, it's had lots of fits and starts, but once it started up again about 10 years ago, it's been nonstop action to build it and get it done.
Wow.
And that's just the first part. The second part is to then extend it from 96th Street North up into 125th Street, where it would terminate where Metro North has its stop in Harlem. That would be phase two. Phase three would be going south from 57th Street, I believe, and it'll go all the way south. And ultimately, it will terminate down in the Wall Street area in Hanover Square. I can't tell you when that's going to be. It's going to be way out into the future. I think my grandchildren will be able to take advantage of it. But I think that, you know, that's the plan, that it would go up and down the east side. You know, let me just talk about the east side of New York. For those people who live there and those people who say it's crowded all the time, it's absolutely crowded all the time. But and it's really amazing if you think about just that line alone, the 4, 5, and 6 line, the IRT on the east side. More people take that subway every day than the entire Washington Metro system, and as well as the Boston T system. You combine the two together, all of the Boston area and all of the Washington, D.C. area and their mass transit, combine them together, and they don't equal the people who just take that one subway line in Manhattan.
Avenue.
It's absolutely amazing. We need to open up the Second Avenue subway as quickly as we can to alleviate the traffic problems and the congestion problems that we're having on that line.
Wow. So when it's all said and done, as you said, in your grandchildren's lifetime, it will probably connect with Fulton Street right down on the bottom, and it will also alleviate some congestion coming into Grand Central because of Metro North. Or there'll be another way someone could hop on Metro North.
That's right. You know, there are a lot of people, you know, with the expansion of the economy in New York, not everybody works just in Midtown or downtown where, you know, you would get to Grand Central Terminal if you lived in Westchester County or up in Connecticut and you needed to take Metro North home and you were using it for commuting purposes. You could always go to 125th Street. I have friends that work at Mount Sinai Hospital, for example. It's easier for them to go to 125th Street to get home to Westchester County. And more people are using 125th Street, including those folks who want to take Metro North to Yankee Stadium. They got a special train that leaves from 125th Street. Just a matter of minutes to get there. It's comfortable. It's a great way to get there.
Yeah, and just a shout out to those Mets fans, right? There is an LAR stop right near City Field as well. The same idea.
Same idea. Or you could take the number 7 train out the way I do.
That's right.
To get out to City Field, right?
You know, that brings to mind, we used to go on Redbirds. They're all gone, right? The Redbirds are gone.
The Redbirds are gone. The new subway cars are going to be modern and sleek. The governor and the new chairman of the MTA, Tom Prendergast, had a press conference about a month ago showing what the new cars will look like. And what's interesting, you know, the cars that we have today are individual cars that have doors, and then you would have to, if you want to go from one car to another, which you shouldn't do while the train is moving, but you can open up that door and then open up the second door, and then you can move. The new trains are going to be able to walk from one end to the other end of the cars without getting out of the specific car. It's going to be wide open. It's going to provide more opportunity to go from one car to another. It's going to provide more seats. It'll be better lit. It's going to be, they're talking about having charging stations on there, so you'll be able to, you know, if you bring your charger, you'll be able to charge your smartphone or your laptop or whatever it is that you want to charge. So it's going to be unbelievably modern and user-friendly.
Wow. And I saw that. Yeah, it looked amazing. Really cool. And so many features that you, like you said, 2016 and beyond. If we can, let's move on to the number 7 line. Your involvement. And then I, I had heard, I don't recall specifically, that there was even talk that that was going to extend into the other side of the Hudson. It was going to go into Jersey. Could you talk about that?
Sure. The number 7 line was under construction while I was there. It was an opportunity to take the 7 line and bring it over to the Javits Convention Center area and where Westside Yards for the Long Island Railroad are located, where there's a whole new community being built there right now. The related company is all the way on the far west side, has been given the opportunity to build both residential as well as commercial space on the far west side. So it's going to be a new area where New Yorkers can be able to live and work and shop and do lots of other things. And so it's important to be able to, that they can get there via subway. And so this number 7 line, which used to terminate at 42nd Street, now goes down to the west side and terminates right at, 11th
right,
34th,
Avenue
and
right.
34th Street.
Yes.
Right. There were some people who thought that it ought to continue over to New Jersey and become part of an interstate transportation system to allow for the folks in New Jersey to come over on an easier basis. And I think we have to find a way to get better rail transit and transit coming over from New Jersey, because I've sat in those tunnels trying to get into the toll booths coming into Manhattan, and it would be nice to be able to do that by train. However, using the subway system for that is not the right thing to do. We need to be able to, you know, build a new tunnel, and they are in the process of beginning to build a new tunnel over from New Jersey. We're going to need to do that. But sending the New York City subway system over to another state is fraught with all kinds of problems. The subways are governed under a whole set of laws by the federal government that it works with as a subway system, as a mass transit system. Once you go interstate, you become a railroad. And when you go interstate and become a railroad, there are all kinds of particular problems that you have to have about, you know, what's required to be on it, and it doesn't make sense. Here's what I recommended when I was chairman, that the number 7 line shouldn't just end at 11th Avenue and 34th Street, that serious consideration should be given to continue all the way down 11th Avenue, all the way down to where it hits the West Side Highway, which is right by Chelsea Pier.
Right,
and be
Street,
able to do
right,
that. So you go from Chelsea Piers all the way to City Field, which would be fabulous, because that part of New York, which used to be pretty much industrial as well as warehouses, a lot of it's been converted into housing, and those folks have no mass transit in that area. So it's an area of New York without mass transit. That's where we should be putting our subway system.
Wow.
Keep on going south, and it would help the folks, you know, who want to go to Chelsea Piers, or you know, in any way, it'll just help overall. Now, it's not in the plans. I don't think it's going to happen, but it was what I suggested. Instead of going to New Jersey, let's go down and continue it in New York City.
Wow. A fascinating idea. Were you involved with the digital signage? I know that on a lot of the lines, certainly on the IRT lines, you see them frequently, and they're such a help. You know, you have an idea.
It's a tremendous help. And, you know, I've lived in New York my whole life, and I can remember, you know, going down on the subway stop and, you know, just like, you know, you'd be leaning over as the train coming. You're looking for the lights to see how far it is. Now you go down and you see that it's, you know, 5 minutes away, 2 minutes away, whatever the numbers are. The MTA is committed now to putting up the signage everywhere. It is in the IRT, which is the A train, the A lines, which are the older trains. It's a different mechanism that runs the numbered lines as opposed to the lettered lines. But as I understand it, and talking to Chairman Prendergast at the MTA, they're committed to getting it done. And I think it's going to be get done over the next couple of years, that they'll be in all stations. They are very, very important.
Wow.
To have there. When I go to my station, the Clark Street station in Brooklyn Heights, it's no doubt the first thing I look for. The other thing that I encourage New Yorkers to do is, you know, the MTA, and while I was there, we did this. We had a competition with a lot of folks who create apps for your iPhone or your Blackberries at the time, or any type of a smartphone, you can get an app where you can see when the next train is coming. You don't have to wait until you go down into the subway system or go up on the elevated track. You can actually find out on the street when the next train is coming and when the train after that is coming, because it's all online and it's all in an app that you can look at it. And it makes a it's helpful to understand, you know, do you want to stop and get, you know, the newspaper, well, or, you know, before you go down to the track level, or knowing fully well that there's a train 2 minutes out and there's another one 5 minutes after that. It helps you understand. One of the things that the signage does, and I think it's really important, it does something that rarely happens in New York. It alleviates or eliminates anxiety. Nothing like going down in the subway, dark, you know, as it is, going down there and wondering when the next train is coming. Now you don't have to worry about it anymore. So there are very few things that reduce anxiety in New York. That's one of them.
That's
a great idea, yep. And it's going to continue.
Yeah, and it's certainly for the surface, which we'll get to in a moment. We're speaking with Joe Lota, former commissioner of the MTA, right here on Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftalis. Each week we have a little giveaway. This week we're giving away, you guessed it, a Metro card. Yes, a $25 Metro card. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word. Send it to 66866 and you'll automatically be entered into this giveaway for a $25 Metro card. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back with Joe Lota, former chairman of the MTA, right here on Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saftalis on 77 WABC. Also, a reminder to the listeners, you could follow me on social media. YSaftalis is my Twitter handle, YSAFTLAS. That's usually the best way to find out who our upcoming guests will be on a weekly basis. My guest this evening, again, Joe Lota, former chairman of the MTA. We're covering a lot of very important subjects. Actually, right now we're going to move to surface transit, the MTA buses. One of the innovations was the bendies, right? The bendable buses. One driver, double the passenger load. Did that happen in your tenure? Were you a part of that? Maybe you could talk about that.
It happened before I got there.
Okay.
And believe me, they're very, very helpful. They're also controversial to a lot of people, controversial for car drivers who think they're too long or they block traffic and all of that. The thing that I'm worried about with the buses, more than anything else, is that the number of people riding on the buses is going down, and that's unfortunate. More and more people are taking the subways. Less and less people are taking the buses. And it's kind of interesting if you look at it, you know, demographically, young people much prefer getting on the subway than they do on the bus. They have an opportunity to take a bus or a subway. They always go for the subway. I'm not sure why that is, but it's true. So one of the things that while I was there, I said, look, we've got to find a way to make these buses more popular. We started putting in Wi-Fi so that you can have access to the internet, better or high speed access to the internet while you're on there. Hopefully it would attract more people. But quite honestly, New York City, as you know, in all five boroughs, congestion has become a significant problem. And, you know, so people are deciding, you know what, I'm not going to take the bus. It takes too long. It's, you know, I could, you know, and it's unfortunate. But the bus system is really important. You live in Queens. It's really probably in certain parts of Queens, it's the only way to have mass transit is through the New York City bus system. We also have the select buses. We've started that and expanded that beyond when it started when I was there. You know, in First Avenue in front of where I am at NYU Langone Medical Center, you've got the select bus. You pay before you get on. You can get on in any door. It doesn't stop. It's an express bus. It goes. It's got its own dedicated lane, and that's very, very helpful. We're starting to see more and more of those.
Now, in terms of congestion, the bus lanes probably helped a bit as well, right? You certainly see them on, I think it's Fifth or some of the other major avenues.
Right. Right. It depends on who you talk to. Okay. It does help with the buses, but it also creates more congestion for others. Look, this started in, you know, during the Bloomberg administration, which is an opportunity. You know, they also put in bike lanes. You know, it was all part of what we need to do to get more and more people less in cars and more riding bicycles and more taking public transportation. I understand the concept. It's not fully there yet. We've got to continue working on it.
The voice that you hear is that of Joe Loda, former chairman of the MTA. It's a particular treat for me because I've always been a MTA, I don't know if you say junkie or, you know, I loved it. In fact, I want to move to Metro North here. But as some of my friends
let me,
know.
Let me,
yeah.
No, look, Yitzhak, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Loving the subway so much. Have you ever been to the Transit Museum in downtown
Absolutely.
Brooklyn?
Absolutely. At least a dozen times.
It's well worth it. So tell all of you viewers worth it to take their children
understand
what the trains used to look like, you know, 40, 50, 100 years ago. It's absolutely amazing to go down there and see it.
I've taken my kids there and I've gone as a kid. I've been there again at least a dozen times. They redid it over the years. It's a fascinating place. Yeah, really. Skirmerhorn Street, right? I believe it's right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that far from Borough Hall.
Borough Hall, that's
downtown
the stop,
Brooklyn.
Right? So you can get there 4 or 5. Yeah, there's plenty of ways of getting there.
Well, if you want to get to Borough Hall, this is what happens when you run the MTA. You want to get to Borough Hall in Brooklyn, it's the 4, it's the 5, it's the 2, it's the 3. You can also take the F train. There's so many different ways to get there.
Absolutely. Of course, now everything is pre-recorded when you come to the station. But I remember one particular, I'm gonna act it out because it was a particular conductor. We were on, I think, the Q, and we pulled into Atlantic Avenue, and he goes down the list. He says, and you could reach this and that, you know, on the 4, 5, 6, and the Long Island Railroad.
I remember those days as well. But, you know, you're right. There are more recordings now. The engineer who drives the train would make the announcements. You know, generally they don't have to do that anymore because there are some pre-recorded announcements. And by the way, as you remember, the old trains, it was really hard to hear. It didn't matter what it was. The system was so bad. They're much clearer now. You can understand what they're saying with the pre-recorded messages now. But and in the future, you know, with the new modern trains that we were talking about before, you know, there'll be digital signs on board that'll be able to tell you where it's going. It'll also tell you where there are street fairs. It'll also tell you, you know, all kinds of information about the neighborhood that you're going through while you're going through it.
Amazing.
What stores are there and different things like that. So, you know, it'll become a lot more, as I said, user friendly.
Amazing. Let's talk for a minute about Metro North and LIRR. On-time performance, upgrading old technology. I mean, LIRR, as we know, is over 100 years old, the oldest railroad in the U.S. Maybe you could talk about that.
Sure. Well, you know, the Long Island Railroad, as you said, Yitzhak, it is the oldest railroad in the United States, and there are plans to upgrade it. The thing that, you know, one thing I want folks to think about, and people who take the Long Island Railroad every day know this, every train coming out of Penn Station goes through Jamaica, New York, and it doesn't matter what line you're going on, whether you're going out in the Babylon line or out in the Hicksville line or any of the lines, you all go through Jamaica. It's like that single point where you have to squeeze right through, and that's the way it was designed. I really wish I was around when they designed it, because I'd love to understand who thought Jamaica was the center of the universe, that every train had to go through Jamaica. But it causes a lot of congestion problems, and it's one in which, you know, the governor and Tom Prendergast have talked about building a new third rail track line in Nassau County to help speed up the trains, and especially trains in the morning. You know, there are a lot more people who live in New York City who commute to Nassau County via trains. And most of the trains on the Long Island Railroad, it's pretty simple. They all start on Long Island in the morning, and they all come into Manhattan. And then at the end of the day, they generally go leave Manhattan, and they all go out to the island. But people are now working all over the place, and there needs to be a more rigorous, a more robust system. And they're in the process of doing that. You also know the Long Island Railroad is I'm not sure exactly when this is going to happen, but there are going to have some trains that will also terminate not at Penn Station, but at Grand Central Terminal. Which will help people who live, who live on the island, but who work closer to that portion of Manhattan. They'll be able to take the train that goes to Grand Central instead of Penn Station.
Yeah. Do we know how far that is off?
Well, I know. I don't remember. I don't recall. I think it's probably 2020 is the last I remember reading it. But don't hold me to that. What I read about it was in one of the newspapers here in New York. So you can't always trust what you read in the paper. But 2020 is when they're talking about.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Penn Station. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Joe Loda, former chairman of the MTA. I guess in his honor, we're going to be giving away a MetroCard, a $25 MetroCard. How do you like that? All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Put in the word bottom line as one word. Send it to 66866. You will automatically be entered to win a $25 MetroCard. Well, let's talk about Penn Station. There's a lot of talk going on. They're going to be redoing it. Madison Square Garden is perched right atop it. We know how congested it is. Maybe you could talk about Penn Station.
Penn Station is in severe need of being repaired, and it is the most used commuter rail station in the country, probably in all of North America, no question about it. So here's what's going on. First and foremost, everybody needs to know Penn Station is not owned by the MTA. It's not run by the MTA, or it's not run by the state of New York. It's not run by the city of New York. It's run by Amtrak. And so if you think about all the things that are going on in Penn Station, you've got Amtrak on the Northeast Corridor. It goes to Washington. It goes to Boston. You've also got New Jersey Transit that terminates there, as well as the Long Island Railroad. And the Garden is right on top of it. Garden's not going anywhere.
And 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, that's right. You've got, on the 7th Avenue right. side, you got the 1, 2, and 3. Right. On the 8th Avenue side,
right.
you got,
they got the,
what,
A.
the A, the C,
right.
and the E
C.
train.
That's right.
So, yeah, you've
Woo.
Got all kinds of, it's a hub. And it's an important hub. As I mentioned earlier in our interview, there's the far west side, 3 or 4 blocks from there. There are a massive amount of investment from the real estate industry in building new buildings there. You're seeing a lot of change in many of the buildings in and around the Penn Station area. So we need to not only renovate, as the community is being redeveloped, we actually need to rethink how Penn Station works. Part of that is going to be the Farley Post Office. The Farley Post Office is going to be ultimately where Amtrak will terminate. When that happens, it's going to give an opportunity to renovate where Amtrak is within Penn Station itself, to be able to expand how the Long Island Railroad works and how Jersey Transit works. You're going to have to move one out before the work can get done. Now, there's a task force going on right now of looking at RFPs as to how to finish what's going on in the Farley Post Office, which is going to be, I think the governor has renamed it. It's going to be known as Empire Station. And Empire Station will be there on 8th Avenue, and then the Penn Station, which will be for the Long Island Railroad, predominantly the Long Island Railroad and Jersey Transit, and that'll need to be renovated. It's going to need to be renovated while the trains are working, which is always hard to do. It's one of those things. It's like, how do you repair a jet engine while it's flying in the air?
Right.
Well, how do you renovate a station while the trains need to keep moving? Look, I trust that everything that's going on with the MTA, with Amtrak is moving forward. Everything I'm hearing from the folks who are working on it, they've got RFPs outstanding. They've got some proposals. They're working with developers and contractors right now as to how to finish what's going on Farley or Empire Station. And when they're done with that, they're going to then come over and start completely renovating the experience that travelers have. There's been talk about, 33rd Street was closed last summer, or it's closed right now. It's a walkway. Some people are talking about opening that up, which still allowing people to walk, but instead of there being blacktop, it would be some kind of plexiglass or some kind of a strong plastic where natural light would be able to shine down on the Long Island Railroad. And it'll make people feel better because, when you're down there in the Long Island Railroad, the ceilings are low.
Yeah.
And it's crowded. We got to find a way to open it up a little bit more, as well as to make people feel more comfortable down there.
Wow. Now, have you heard any talk about what's going to be with MSG while this is going on?
MSG just spent a little over $1 billion, I think $1.4 billion of their own money, completely renovating, transforming, actually, the transformation of Madison Square Garden. It's a very different place on the inside than it was a few years back. I don't think the garden's going anywhere. It's what's going to happen underneath the garden that's going to change. But I think MSG is going to be there.
Wow. Now, was there any talk of Metro North coming in also coming in, or was it just the other way around?
Yes, there is some talk about Metro North coming in. The line that it would begin. Actually, let me stop. It's the line that goes
the Hudson
up
line?
To Connecticut along the South Shore line. I can't remember what the name of it's called, but nonetheless, it's the one that goes through the Northeast Bronx. There would be four new stations built in the Bronx from Metro North, and it would then terminate at Grand. Instead of terminating at Grand Central Terminal, it would come down through the tunnel and come right into Penn Station, allowing folks who work on the far west side, who live in Connecticut or live in Westchester County or live in, you know, the Pelham Bay area of the Bronx, to be able to come in right into the Penn Station area and go to where they want to work on the west side.
Wow. You know, here's an interesting note. My friends know this. Every once in a while when I want to get some, like, inspiration, I'll just get a ticket, Metro North, the Hudson line. What a beautiful mm-hmm. line. Just take it right up to Poughkeepsie and back. It's a, you know, round trip is, what, 4 or 5 hours, something like that. Very relaxing, very... I use it for a boost of creativity. It's very interesting.
I'm sure you sit on the side where the windows are, because for those folks who've never been on the Hudson line, it literally goes right adjacent to the Hudson River. Yeah. So as you're going north, if you're sitting on the left side of the train, you have the most beautiful views of the majestic Hudson River, and it's absolutely true. Beautiful. I've done the trip to Poughkeepsie many, many times. Well worth it. Do you just go up to Poughkeepsie and turn around and come right back?
Basically.
Do you have lunch or anything?
No, I literally will then take it right back, 20 minutes whenever, you know, the next train heads out.
Okay.
You can call me crazy, but hey.
If it's what you do to relax, that's great.
Okay.
You do it in off-peak hours, so you don't have to pay the full boat. I understand.
Where's my guest this evening is none other than Joe Loda, former chairman of the MTA, right here on Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless on 77 WABC. We have a giveaway this evening, yes, in honor of Joe Loda, a $25 Metro card. How do you like that? All you have to do is send a text to 66866. Send it, and then add the word bottom line as one word. Send it over to 66866. You'll automatically be entered. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. In the few remaining minutes that we have, we're Joe Loda, former chairman of the MTA. We're going to cover a very important subject, and that is disaster preparedness. Anyone here in the city remembers 2012 very vividly, Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, whatever you want to call it. It was a major, major storm. I remember a few days before when those boards were going up over the subway vents, and some were saying like, maybe they're overreacting, etc., and moving rolling stock out of Coney Island and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Joe Loda was the one who gets the credit. Maybe you could relive that and talk about preparedness.
The workers of the MTA, and specifically the workers of the Transit Authority regarding the subway, they are the ones who deserve all of the credit. Look, my responsibility at the time was making sure that we were prepared. We had tabletop exercises. What would we do? How would we work? Who would do what? So that when the catastrophe happened, we weren't sitting around thinking, okay, what do we do now? We had a plan. And the plan was to get the rolling stock away from the water. The plan was to try to figure out how to make sure we can get the subway system back up and running as quickly as possible. Never expected the flooding that we had in Lower Manhattan, never expecting the tubes, the underground tunnels that go from Brooklyn to Manhattan to be completely flooded, but they were, and we had to figure out a way to get the people from Brooklyn. So when the subway system opened up, 2 days after the storm, it opened up everywhere but in Lower Manhattan because there was no power. Con Ed didn't have power in Lower Manhattan. And also for the folks in Brooklyn, it could only go as far as downtown Brooklyn. So very quickly, we put together what we called a bus bridge. People would go to Barclays, would take the train to Barclays Center, and then be able to get off the train. And then we had buses, one after another, coming in so people could go to work and get back and as much of their normal life as possible. The most important part of any disaster is training. And I encourage anybody in business to think about what would happen if. How do you operate your business if you didn't have power? What could you do? What would happen if the building you were in, there was a fire in the building, not necessarily in your location, but it's somewhere else, but it said you couldn't go to work? How would you continue your livelihood? How would you continue to, have your revenues? Think about those things. You've got to plan for the worst. You hope for the best, but plan for the worst so that when and if a catastrophe happens, we know how to, you know how to continue your business. And in this case, my job as the chairman of the MTA was to make sure that the folks can get to and from work. As I said earlier in this discussion, I think of the entire MTA as the central nervous system. It's the way people get to and from work, to and from school, to and from doctor's appointments, whatever. The most important, without it, how do people get around? It's very, very difficult. So my job was to get it back up and running as fast as possible. And the men and women who work at the Transit Authority, the men and women who are part of the Transit Workers Union, they're the ones who deserve all the credit because they got it up and running in nothing flat. And it, I think, impressed a lot of people in New York that we could come back as fast as we did, because a lot of people didn't think we would be able to do it. But the workers of the MTA knew what they needed to do, and they got the job done, and they deserve all the credit.
Wow. Now, not that we're going to call out others, but many times when someone has, there's the juxtaposition that goes on, then they get a sampling. And we know on the New Jersey side, some people did take a hit because of, it was $100 million of rolling stock that was ruined or something like that because it wasn't in the right place.
Right.
It did
happen with Jersey Transit. It's unfortunate. They looked at the same weather reports that I looked at. They made a different decision. You remember, and I can understand why. Just a year before Sandy, there was the threat of Irene. And the reason why I say the threat of Irene is because it never really hit here. It went up to upstate New York, where it did an enormous amount of damage. But it missed this part of the New York metropolitan area. And so it was 12 months later. Everybody was saying, oh, my God, here we go again. They're only kidding. Just as you said before, are they overreacting? You know what? When you're faced with disaster, do what you need to do to prepare for it. That's what we did. Not everywhere did it, but that's okay. We all learn lessons from whatever mistakes are made, and we all have learned from that.
Yeah, and I just want to remind the listeners, we have many sole proprietors, small business owners, medium-sized business owners in the audience, and the advice from Joe Lotto is so on the money here about being prepared. Just have a disaster preparedness plan in place. Of course, we pray it shouldn't be necessary, but at the end of the day, you got to have that in place because, I mean, again, the lesson from Hurricane Sandy is just right there. I mean, wow.
Just like, you know, the subway's got a slogan, you know, if you see something, say something. Right. When it comes to disaster preparedness, you know, you plan for the worst, you hope for the best. You just have to do the planning necessary as to what would happen if X, Y, or Z would happen to your business. What would you do to make sure that you can continue to make your payroll, continue to have your revenues coming in? That's what you need to do, how to be resilient in the face of danger like that.
Wow. Was there any lessons learned when the tubes, I mean, before we were talking about the flooding that happened on the subway lines, but everyone remembers the famous pictures at the U-Carry Tunnel, the Battery Tunnel, as it's known, the water pouring in. Yeah, I mean, I always wondered, I recall seeing one time that someone came up with some type of almost like a balloon, a blow-up item that would go in the front to protect it. I've heard some wild ideas.
They're not that wild. They're not that wild. There is a way that you can, now that we know that the U-Carry Tunnel, the old Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, is susceptible to flooding, there are ways to
plug it.
Gap it, yeah, and plug it. You know, right. The water didn't just come in on the water did not just come in on the Manhattan side. It also came in on the Brooklyn side. Oh. At the end of the day, there were 93 million gallons of water in that system, and it needed to get pumped out and opened up again. It opened up in a little over a week. There was damage. You know, every single light, every single lighting fixture inside of the tunnel was destroyed because the water just pushed against it and ripped them all out. And I don't know if you recall, when it opened, you know, there was a big debate. We couldn't have all the lights on. So it was every third light.
Yeah, I remember that. Sure, it was dark.
And then over time, we got them all back up and running. But the most important thing was to get it up and running again. I mean, that's, you know, try to get his life back to normal as much as possible. Look, the subway had a system, too, and the problems. And, you know, we're going to experience on the L line that comes over from Brooklyn into Manhattan. It's going to be shut down now for 18 months. At the time, you know, I remember at a press conference telling everyone that, yes, we've opened up the Montague Street Tunnel, which is the N and the R train, as well as the L Street Tunnel, but that we need to evaluate the amount of salt water that was put into those tunnels, make sure they weren't damaged, make sure that, you know, it didn't impact the concrete. Well, in fact, it did, and we needed to close down the Montague Street Tunnel, just like we did, like we're going to have to do with the L Street Tunnel. For those people who think that, you know, the MTA is going to take forever to get the L Street Tunnel done, just remember this. Tom Prendergast shut down the Montague Street Tunnel, and he did it in less time than he said it was going to be done and for less cost. Listen, Tom Prendergast is running the MTA now as a real professional, a real good man, and I'll tell you what, his word is gold. And amazing. When he says he's going to get it done, believe him, he's going to get it done.
Amazing. And closing out, politics, you did run for mayor as a Republican, and I remind
you. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Well, that was amazing. You had my vote, 2013. And as we all remember, it followed 20 years of the mayoral, you know, of that seat in Republican hands in a city which is 4-1 Democratic. So I don't know how I had the guts to do it. I mean, you were right.
I love this city. I can remember. I love this city. It's been in my blood my entire life. I mean, I can remember as part of my, you know, my father was a New York City cop. My grandfather was a New York City. My father's father, my grandfather was a New York City fireman. My mother's father was a New York City taxi cab driver.
Wow.
I mean, New York is in my blood. And so becoming mayor of New York has been something I thought about ever since I was a little kid. And unfortunately, I ran into the juggernaut, Bill de Blasio won, beat me significantly. But nonetheless, it was a great opportunity to do it. I got to parts of a city I've never been to before. And I got to respect all five boroughs. And it was a wonderful time. Wish I had won. Didn't happen.
Any future plans you care to talk about?
I'm not running, and I'm not running for mayor again. No, nope. I, in spite of what friends want me to do, I've been through that. I, as you said, I think Republicans have a difficult time being elected in this city. And I think if I had $1 billion the way Mike Bloomberg did, sure, I'd think about it again. And that's what it's going to take. You're going to need to do a lot with name recognition. You're going to need to do a lot. You know, he spent over $100 million when Billy Thompson spent about $5 or $6 million. That's unbelievable, the differential, 14 times the amount of money that was spent between the two. Yeah. And in any event, no, in the future, you know, I'm going to be an observer on the side. I'm encouraging other people to run for mayor.
Amazing. Well, I can't thank you enough. Joe Loda, the former chairman of the MTA and many other, again, part of the Giuliani administration. I can't thank you enough for joining me on this edition of Mind Your Business. Any final takeaways for the audience?
Well, Yitzhak, I want to thank you very much for inviting me on your show. I think when it comes to the, you know, we can talk about the MTA as we spoke most of it tonight. I mean, one of the things to do is just remember how old the system is and how much tender, loving care it needs. But also remember that the workers at the MTA, they deserve a lot of credit for everything that goes on there. It runs every day, 6.9 million people every day take the subway system. Understand it's old. Understand that the MTA is doing everything they can to maintain it. You see a subway worker, you know what? Give them a smile. Thank them. I think that's the most important thing you can do. Thank that worker, thank that man, thank that woman who works for the New York City subway system, because they're the reason you get to work every single day.
It's an amazing interview with Joe Loda. Again, we remind the audience to stay tuned up next for John Batchelor here on 77 WABC. Thank you again to Joe Loda, and tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.